Hi, I'm Ken Kessler, and welcome to the Sounds of Christmas podcast. If you're new to this podcast, I want to start by saying thanks for joining us. If you're not new, welcome back. Either way, I'm very glad you're here. Now, to avoid any confusion, I want to start off by saying there won't be any music played here. This is a place for conversation. I'll talk about Christmas music and some related topics, sometimes by myself and sometimes with guests. If you're looking for music, just go to soundsofchristmas.com and click on the tree or the player on the front page or on the Listen Now page. We play the best variety of Christmas music all year long. Well, except in October, when we play the best variety of Halloween music. So 11 months of the year, we're on playing the best variety of Christmas music from November 1st all the way around to September 30th. I get that for most of that time, most people aren't listening to Christmas music. Most people. But we had somewhere around 6 million people listening in the last couple months of 2022. And if most of those aren't listening between January and October, how many does that leave? How many should we say is most people? Most of 6 million, is that 75%, 80%, 90%? Let's say it's 95%. 5% of 6 million is still 300,000. To me, that's still a lot of people. And that's just for my station, The Sounds of Christmas. There are lots of other online Christmas music stations, not to mention Christmas playlists on Tidal, Spotify, and other streaming outlets. So if you're listening to Christmas music, even some of the time these days, you are not alone. In fact, right now, there are people in the U.S. and 11 other countries listening to The Sounds of Christmas. Not bad for a Saturday night in June, which is when I'm recording this. To prove the point, maybe, I've invited some other hosts of Christmas Theme Podcast to join me to talk about listening to Christmas music out of the traditional Christmas music listening season. Thanks so much for joining me, Kristen from the Holidays After Dark podcast, Jerry from the Totally Rad Christmas podcast, and Scott from Holly Jolly Xmasu. Thanks, guys.
Hey, thanks for having us.
First, I'd like to go around and let each of you introduce yourselves and talk a little about your podcast, like the name and what it's about, that kind of thing. Kristen, you want to start?
Sure. So yeah, thanks so much for having me. As soon as I heard that this was the topic you were talking about, I knew it was right up my alley because I listen to Christmas music all the time, much to others' dismay sometimes. But yeah, my podcast is Holidays After Dark. I like taking all the mainstream holidays that most people know and sometimes love and looking at maybe obscure things about them, true crime associated with them, basically anything that kind of puts, you know, the dark side spin on holidays is what I try to talk about.
Okay. And Jerry?
Well, I think your listeners have probably heard me here before. What? I've been on a couple of times. That's the running joke with me. But yeah, so I'm the host of Totally Rad Christmas. It's all about Christmas in the 80s. I talk about anything and everything, whether it's food, fashion, fads, movies, TV specials, TV shows, music, especially music. It doesn't matter. We'll talk about it as long as it has something to do with Christmas in the 1980s, which is my favorite decade. And I mean, it's just a wild, wild time. So yeah, Totally Rad Christmas.
And Scott?
I host Holly Jolly Xmasu. It's all about Japanese Christmas music. Every episode, I'll cover an album or a group of songs taken from my personal collection. You'll get to hear the music. You'll get to learn about the artists who made it and possibly about the songs involved. It's something I picked up a few years ago, and it's just a really fascinating topic for me. The fact that there's just so much out there that we typically don't hear, and a lot of fantastic music that if you don't hunt down that vinyl, you're never going to hear it. So yeah, it's just something I like sharing with people. So if you want to hear something different, go ahead and tune in.
Now, all three of you, all four of us, I should say, kind of have a vested interest in Christmas. I mean, we have Christmas-themed podcasts that are on year-round. So it's not exactly a random sampling of people. But I don't know how well a random sampling of people would work even in December. Some people just have some very strong feelings about Christmas music, and those feelings aren't always good, even in December. So with that caveat, such as it is, let's talk about listening to Christmas music in the off season. Kristen, are you still listening to Christmas music these days, even once in a while?
Oh, absolutely. And I'm actually headed to Christmas Con in Kansas City this coming up week.
Nice.
So I know that on that, it's like a, you know, 4 to 5 hour road trip for me. And so I know on that road trip, there will definitely be Christmas music to be had. But besides that, I tend to find strictly instrumental Christmas music to be very helpful to me when I'm at work. It helps me focus. It puts me in a good mood. So yes, whether my coworkers like it or not, I do find myself routinely playing Christmas, mainly instrumental Christmas music at work all the time.
So what percentage would you even guess of music that you listen to these days is Christmas music?
I would say it kind of depends on the time. Like if any of my favorite artists, like outside of Christmas music, have released new albums. But certainly when I find myself kind of getting in a musical rut with other artists and types of music, I always kind of find myself reverting back to Christmas because it's, you know, what I know and love. And I know it's always going to be there and it doesn't change and whatever. So I would say maybe 15 to 20%, but it really... it's very dependent. Definitely spikes in Christmas and for Christmas in July, though.
Jerry, how about you? You still listening to Christmas music these days?
So this is kind of a loaded question because I work at a Christmas store. So when I go to work, I don't have to put on Christmas music. It's already there. So I definitely we went back to work. We have a 6 week break. And so I'm back at work now. And of course, the Christmas music is on. But even aside from that, I actually do listen to a Christmas music. I'd say it's about 60-40, 60% Christmas music, 40% other music. And while some of that is just to do research for my show, so I listen to like, I have this ridiculously long playlist of just 80s Christmas music. But a lot of it is, I tend to listen to Christmas music to kind of the same, like to relax me, to get myself focused, get myself ready to face the crowds when they start coming in. It's a way to just get into the, I don't know, a better sales mindset, if that's if you can believe that. But I mean, I'm human, I need a break. So when I'm dropping the kids off in the morning, I usually listen to 80s or classic rock or sometimes jazz or, you know, soundtracks, whatever it is. But a lot of the times it is about 60% Christmas, I'd say.
How about you, Scott?
I never stop, but anymore, that's it's more related to my podcast than anything. I tend to get 30 or 40 new albums or singles each month. So I'm constantly not just listening to stuff in preparation for my podcast, but just, you know, recording vinyl, processing it, importing CDs. So from that aspect, it's pretty much a nonstop thing. Outside of that, every once in a while, I'll throw on usually like one of the more classic Christmas albums, Frank Sinatra, Stephen Eady, you know, whichever. Honestly, I'd say I listen to a lot of music. So as far as Christmas music goes, probably only about 20% of the time.
Yeah, for me, I listen to a lot of music every day, but the Christmas music, at least right now, is probably a very small percentage of that. I'm constantly coming across things that I somehow missed, whether it's a release from last year or like I just found a Christmas album by the Letterman that they recorded later in their career. I don't remember if it was in the 70s or the 80s, but I didn't even know that existed. So that's something recent that I've been listening to. But recreationally, and I probably should have asked you guys recreationally, I throw it on every once in a while, whether I just need a little of that musical Christmas spirit, or I just want to hear it. And I might listen for, you know, half an hour or maybe an hour, and then it goes away until the next day. But it's always there. Is there a particular time of year that you really sort of flip the switch and listen to Christmas music more regularly because you want to, not job related or podcast related. Let's go the other way. How about you, Scott?
Usually July, but part of that also is I make up a Christmas mix CD for my family and a few friends each year. So I will start listening to a lot of Christmas music around July or so, just to start planning out what I'm going to put on the CD that year. And it can be, you know, new releases from the previous year. It could be stuff that I, you know, dig through my collection, just anything and everything, just to give myself an idea of what I'm going to do. And then October 1st is when, you know, that's when I flip the switch, and that's pretty much all we listen to around here, as long as my girls aren't complaining too much. But see, and that's the thing, growing up, my mom played Christmas music year round, and it wasn't until I was like 9 or 10 years old that a friend was over one day and said, "Why are you listening to Christmas music?" And until then, I didn't realize that, you know, everyone else wasn't listening to, you know, John Denver and the Muppets year round. So it's never, you know, it's never been unusual to, you know, to have the Christmas music playing in August.
Gary, how about you? Is there a particular time of the year that you sort of flip the switch to recreationally listen to Christmas music?
So I'd say there are like moments in the year. So, you know, I'm Catholic. So on March 25th is a Feast of the Annunciation. So I make sure to have Christmas music playing all day long on March 25th. And then like I kind of have ins and outs in May and June for some reason. And I think it's because I start feeling I'm getting ready for the season, and it's just it just invigorates me. And so I'll just turn on something. Now, I will say there are some songs that I won't play until like the official Christmas, you know, quote unquote season. So the Time Life Treasury of Christmas is what I've listened to for like the last 37 years. When we're decorating the tree, when we're opening presents, when we're writing letters to Santa. So like for me, I have to listen to that in December. So I won't listen to any songs from that throughout the rest of the year. But there are other albums that I'll put on throughout the year, and they're usually on some sort of major feast, or like I said, around May and June is kind of when I really start listening to it just for myself, I guess you'd say.
See, and that's funny you said you officially kick off the season with Time Life Treasury of Christmas. Yeah. I do it with John Denver and the Muppets.
Nice.
So, like the last day of September, first day of October, I have to listen to that all the way through. And yeah, as soon as I do, that's, you know, Christmas music season has started.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's funny. There's a song by Big Bad Voodoo Daddy called Christmas is Starting Now. And that's the first one for me at midnight on November 1st. That's always the nice first one for me. Interesting that you mentioned the Time Life Treasury, that you sort of hold off on that until mm-hmm. December. For me, O Holy Night and Silent Night are ones that I sort of hold those back until a couple weeks before Christmas. And they're very powerful. Both of them always get me in the Christmas spirit. So I say I hold them back, but if there's a time where I really need that feeling, I'll put on a version of O Holy Night.
And they happen, they happen throughout the year, where all of a sudden you're just like, man, I don't feel right. I need to listen to something Christmassy. And it just like immediately lifts your, like Kristen was saying, immediately lifts your spirits and puts you in like a great mood.
Yeah. Like when it's 93 in May.
Yes. Like today.
Kristen, is there a point during the year where you sort of flip the switch and recreationally are listening to more and more Christmas music?
Yeah. So typically the path that I take is after the Christmas season ends, I do take like a little bit of a break from it, just because it's like, you know, the only thing I was listening to for the preceding months. And then kind of on the theme of what most people were saying, you know, as we creep closer to summer, May, June, I do start picking it up some just because I hate summer. I hate being hot. And so I need that reminder that, you know, better days are ahead with fall and winter. And then, yeah, Christmas in July, definitely go all out. Movies, music. Every possible, I consider putting up my decorations every year if it wasn't such a big ordeal. And then I kind of take a break because I do actually listen to quite a bit of Halloween music. So I kind of take a break in the fall. And then as the second Halloween is over, it's full blown Christmas until January again.
Yeah. I used to, I guess, flip the switch near the end of June because that used to be when a lot of Christmas releases were announced. They weren't necessarily coming out, but they were sort of, you found out from the major labels and lots of artists that, oh, they have secretly been working on a Christmas record and it's coming out in a couple months. And that used to be when you would find it out. But now, with all the advances in technology and so many artists who are putting stuff out by themselves, you don't often find out for much later into the summer, and sometimes it just comes out and it's a surprise. Or you get like Norah Jones' Christmas album a couple of years ago, we found out about it, there was a big announcement like a week before it came out, sometime in October it came out, it was announced. And that never would have happened 10 years ago, but now, so I don't know. At some point during the summer, and it sort of varies, when we get into July, I do sort of flip the switch because I am trying to get everything ready, even though I don't always know what the new stuff is going to be, but I try and get everything ready. So I am listening to a lot of stuff, and I'm trying to, I'm just saying, you know, recreationally, but I'm not sure that this is really recreational, but I'm trying to listen to a lot of the stuff that I don't play as often so that I can catch some of the songs I might not have gotten a chance to play in the season last year and make sure that I get to those this year. And that's not always easy because they're ones that I want to hear. I've had like a 30-year career in traditional radio, and every station I ever worked at some point in July, when the temperature is close to or over 100, the program director would say, look, play Here Comes Santa Claus Tomorrow, or Springsteen, Santa Claus is Coming to Town, or something to sort of help people feel better because it's so hot.
Yes. And
it's kind of a joke, but it's also not, because when it is so hot and you hear Sleigh Ride or you hear, you know, one of those classics, you do feel a little bit better, even if you're just laughing at how silly it is that they're playing a Christmas song in the middle of July. But it works.
So it actually, and sorry to interrupt, but it actually does. So when I was in freshman camp, my freshman year of high school, you know, I was in band camp, and I remember it was like a million degrees outside. You know, I'm in South Texas, where like in August it's usually like 107 or something. And I remember that one of the band directors would walk around just telling us like, it's 40 degrees out here. It's 40 degrees. And, you know, so to try to psych us out. And of course we got through it. And at the very end of the season, I remember we'd competed at, I think, area, and I think we missed state by like a few. Anyway, and so we went up to him. We're like, you know, really wasn't 40 degrees. And he said, well, in my past life, I was a weatherman. But
we've kind of all alluded to this, but I want to ask it anyway. The opposite of what we were just talking about, is there a point where you turn the Christmas music off? Is it January 1st or after Epiphany, or is there just some point when you turn it off, at least for a little while? Kristen?
Yeah, so like I mentioned, you know, once Christmas wraps up, and I mean, I leave my decorations up until close to the end of January, if not the end of January. And so sometime during that month, I typically do kind of fall off from the Christmas music and take a little break, because the one thing that I would never want to happen with Christmas music is for it to get old or stale or not special anymore. It's kind of like that cliche wish of, you know, I wish it was Christmas every day, but if it was Christmas every day, it wouldn't be special. Right, so I don't want that to happen with Christmas music. So if I do ever, you know, just kind of find that I'm not really like feeling it the way, you know, I was yesterday, I'm certainly not going to force myself. So yeah, a little, you know, end of winter, springtime break, and then I, you know, hop back on it and it feels, you know, like the first time hearing, you know, Sleigh Ride or Jingle Bell Rock or something every time. So that's what I do.
How about you, Cherry? Is there a time when you turn it off?
Yeah, so I kind of have a little trick. So I typically listen to, in the lead up, like from November 1st, it's mostly secular Christmas music, Jingle Bells, Jingle Bell Rock, you know, like you said, the Christmas song, things like that. And then once Christmas Eve hits, I start listening to more sacred music, some of the more traditional ones, The First Noel, Joy to the World, stuff like that, Silent Night, O Holy Night. And then I listen to that through the entirety of Christmastide, so all the way up till February 2nd. And then on February 3rd, it's off. Like, it's off for about a month and a half, where I don't listen to anything unless I absolutely have to for my show. And that's when I typically go back to like Fleetwood Mac, you know, or something, something I can just not be in Christmas mode for a bit.
Now, Scott, you said that you never really turn it off, but is there a time that you cut down on the frequency of it at least?
Yeah, it used to be, I would do a hard stop February 1st and I wouldn't listen to any at all February or March. And that was back when, you know, I've been doing the annual CDs for a couple of years, and then the whole online Christmas music sharing community started getting really big, and it got to the point where I was like, okay, well, I'll stop listening once I get everything I've downloaded processed. And there's one year that you know, the following January rolled around and I was still trying to do everything I downloaded from the, you know, 2 years before. And I finally, you know, I went back to the February and March hard stop, and I did really well with that up until 2020, when I started the podcast. And I will stop listening to, you know, most Western Christmas music after January, and I pretty much just stick with the Japanese stuff until probably May, June, around in there.
Scott, let's just stick with you, and then we'll go back around. Are there particular songs or artists that you turn to when you feel like you need that musical Christmas spirit?
Jose Feliciano.
Oh, really? Nice.
Well, because, you know, John Denver and the Muppets, that's the first one I listen to. But until I hear Feliz Navidad, you know, it's not really Christmassy. And then Andy Williams. And part of that's because of the old Staples commercial. So when we go school supply shopping, it is most wonderful time of the year, the entire time we were out.
That's a good one.
That Staples commercial, that got that song tied into school supply shopping for us. So my school supply shopping playlist is, it's the most wonderful time of the year. Just play that on repeat.
No, that's fantastic.
But then I'd say Frank Sinatra is probably the other one.
Jerry, how about you? Particular song or artist?
Yeah, I'm a sucker for Bing Crosby, David Bowie, and, you know, Little Drummer Boy, Peace on Earth. It's not the best, but it's the best. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
So I'm a sucker for that one. I also really like to get me into the mood. I really, really like Santa Claus is Coming to Town. Any version of it will do. And if I really want to absolutely get into the Christmas feels as fast as possible, then I like A Silent Night. And again, that's one that any version will do, although I really do like, of course, Stevie Nicks and that classic as well.
How about you, Kristen? Any particular song or artist?
Yeah, so since it came out in, I think it was 2019, maybe. I've been obsessed with Gwen Stefani's Christmas album, You Make It Feel Like Christmas, which is funny for me because I'm not like a huge Gwen Stefani fan in general, but for some reason, that album is such like a foot tapper for me. Like, no matter what, it always makes me happy. It always makes me feel more upbeat than before I listen to it. So, and I feel like, I don't know, there's something about it that I feel like people in general who aren't our like us Christmas addicts, like they tolerate it a little bit better, even if it's not in the Christmas season. So to, you know, appease the masses, if I'm listening to it someplace with, you know, friends or family or coworkers, I just feel like it's kind of a crowd pleaser. But then other than that, Sleigh Ride is definitely like a signifier of Christmas mood for me. I grew up, you know, in marching band, concert band, and every Christmas concert, Sleigh Ride was the last song that we played to like signify the opening of the season.
I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah, and this is the start of Christmas break. And so when I hear that song, it just immediately takes me back to all my band concerts. And okay, it's Christmas break now, even though I'm like in my 30s now and don't get a Christmas break. But yeah, so that, and then, you know, classics, Bing Crosby, just, you know, this is the quintessential Christmas. It just, you know, puts a smile on my face, even if it's, you know, May or June or whenever.
For me, a lot of the classics, because I've just heard them so much just by the nature of what I do and really working with lots of radio stations at Christmas time, a lot of the classics have sort of, I still love them, but they've kind of lost that magic of suddenly making me feel that sort of Christmas spirit. Springsteen's Santa Claus is Coming to Town used to do that for me all the time, but it's become, I don't want to say overplayed, but really it has.
Yeah.
To the point that it just doesn't do that. The ones that still do are Johnny Mathis did a duet on the Christmas song with Billy Joel, and it's just wonderful and absolutely immediately gives me goosebumps and gives me that feeling. About 10 years ago, Mannheim Steamroller did a symphonic version of some of their previously recorded Christmas songs. And there's a version of Carol of the Bells on that.
Oh,
that
yeah.
Absolutely just makes me feel like it's Christmas. And while I've never been a big fan of Sinead O'Connor, her version of Silent Night that they use in Fred Claus at the end, that one just has some magic for me. Silent Night usually does anyway. But that particular version, because I haven't heard it a lot, that one still does that for me.
Well, and that's actually a good point. Like a lot of, I guess, terrestrial or traditional radio, whatever you want to call it, they seem to just play a select few songs over and over and over again, almost to the point where they do kind of start to lose that special feeling, which is a shame because there's so much great Christmas music out there that people don't know about. And so that is kind of a just something that's a very big disappointment, I think.
Yeah. I mean, Christmas Wrapping by the Waitresses used to be one of those songs for me.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's been used in like every Christmas movie in the last 10 years. And it just, I still love it, but it just doesn't have that magic that it used to, at least for me. What about movies and TV shows? So a lot of people are quick to say something, usually derogatory, if you're listening to Christmas music out of that expected time frame. But I don't usually hear anybody complaining that Max, the recently rebranded HBO Max, is streaming Jim Carrey's version of The Grinch and Carrie Underwood's Christmas special right now. And they've got about a dozen other Christmas movies and specials. And when I saw that, I thought, well, I wonder if this is a fluke. So I went on Netflix, and if you search Christmas on Netflix, there's over 100 active titles. Dolly Parton's recent Christmas movie is on there, and of course, both parts of the Christmas Chronicles that they made, and dozens upon dozens of others. In fact, for some reason, when you search Christmas on Netflix, Smokey and the Bandit also comes up. I don't know why. Is it because Jerry Reed's character's last name was Snow and he was the snowman? Could that be it? I don't know.
Smoky Mountain Christmas, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. And Hulu has dozens of Christmas titles mm-hmm. on there. They have Chevy Chase's Christmas Vacation right now and The Great Christmas Light Fight, among dozens and dozens of others. And all of that is streaming in June. And I have never heard anybody say, oh, why are they showing that in June? But if you put on Jingle Bells, somebody's gonna tell you about it. Do you guys watch Christmas-related movies or specials out of season, as well as listening to the music? How about you, Kristen?
Absolutely. So as a Hallmark Christmas movie fanatic, every year I save because I record all of them on my DVR. And thankfully, my stuff on my DVR, I think it lets me keep it on there for like 9 months before it automatically deletes it. And so I kind of save, if I watch my Hallmark Christmas movies, the new ones, and like really like it, I'll save it. And then I'll find myself rewatching it during the times when, you know, the Hallmark new Christmas movies are long gone. And plus, it's just such a scramble because I insist on watching every single new one in real time throughout the season. So it's so time consuming mm-hmm. that sometimes I feel like I just rushed through it and I need to go back and actually watch one again and to appreciate it more. So yeah, definitely Hallmark Christmas movies. And then yeah, anytime I see, you know, Home Alone is on or Elf, I know I'll just like, you know, when I'm programming my DVR for the next day, I'll just see like the most random channels, like showing a random Christmas movie. Which always makes me happy. But yeah, you can't go wrong with the classics, but yeah, especially Hallmark Christmas movies, I will gladly go back to them. Plus Hallmark, I think it's every Friday night, they do mm-hmm. re-show one from, usually from the previous season of new movies. So that's always a good opportunity to re-watch as well.
You know, my kids used to say that I had some amazing knack for finding a Christmas movie on some channel any time of year. And it's I would just be, you know, surfing around and, oh, look, Christmas Vacation is on Turner Classic Movies. Okay.
It's like that. Your sixth sense.
Yeah.
That's a cool superpower, man.
Yeah.
It really is. Well, you don't need it now because all the streaming things.
Right, right.
So easy. I have probably a dozen of my favorite Christmas movies saved on Amazon, and mm-hmm. I can go on there anytime. And even when I'm just doing other stuff, I'm like, all right, let me put Scrooged on while I'm doing this.
Oh,
and,
man.
Love you know, it. And I've got it going on in the background. Jerry, you watch stuff out of season? Mean,
a million percent. And not just for my show, but like there are times where I'm just sitting down and it's like, you know what? I feel like watching Miracle on 34th Street and I'll just put it on, you know, or if I'm looking, I finally have a day off and I'm just sitting there and everybody's at school and my wife's at work and it's just me at home and I can watch whatever I want and I'm flipping through, you know, and then all of a sudden it's like, you might like, and then a bunch of other Christmas movies populate. Yeah. It's like, I might like that. And then I'll just put that on. So yeah, I still do. And some of my favorites, because I work at a Christmas store, it's hard sometimes to really enjoy the season, like during the season, because I'm so busy. We're working sometimes 12-hour days. And so it's hard to just find time to do things besides edit my show. So I'll just, you know, throughout the year, like, well, I didn't get to watch Home Alone. So I'm going to put it on now and make sure that, darn it, it feels like Christmas to me, you know. So yes, I definitely do. And I agree that there is kind of a weird thing where for some reason people don't mind it. I don't know what the big deal is, especially when they contain often Christmas songs in them, you know, so you're kind of listening to Christmas music, but yeah, some sort of disconnect there.
It's funny, the other day I had this song in my head, and I was trying to figure out, what is it? Because it's not a Christmas song. It's not a classic rock song. And I was trying to figure it out. And then I was like, that's Barbecue from Emmett Otter. So I should put that on.
It's Christmas-ish.
Yeah.
Christmas adjacent.
I love Emma Daughter's Jug Band Christmas and good. All of those songs. So and good. None of them are really Christmas songs
at all. No.
Yeah. But any one of them kind of gives me that Christmas feeling because I associate it with that wonderful Muppet special. Would we call it a Muppet special? I guess we would. Yeah.
Yeah. They're Muppets. Yeah.
Scott?
The three that I tend to go to quite a bit are Mr. Magoo's Christmas Carol, Scrooge with Albert Finney, and An American Christmas Carol with Henry Winkler.
Henry Winkler.
But for years, when we got to the point where we really weren't using our DVD player anymore, and we were just streaming, the only Christmas movie that was available year round for several years was White Christmas on Netflix. Mm-hmm. And that got to be, yeah, it was, you know, that was what I'd put on when I needed something Christmassy. So there's a stretch of years there where we probably watched that probably 4 or 5 dozen times. And it's just because, you know, we didn't have a DVD player hooked up to the main TV. I didn't feel like going in the bedroom and watching a DVD in there. So, you know, we just play White Christmas all the time.
You know, it's funny. I had mentioned that I sort of hold back Silent Night and No Holy Night till it gets close to Christmas.
Right.
I do the same thing with A Christmas Story. For years, on Christmas Eve, Lisa is upstairs in our bedroom wrapping gifts, and I'm downstairs wrapping gifts, and I'm watching A Christmas Story over and over and over again because it's on, and it became sort of a tradition. And it doesn't feel right watching that movie any other time. So it always, that's one that I hold back. I'll put Scrooged on, or I'll put any different, I have 3 or 4 favorite versions of A Christmas Carol, so I'll put those on, or the Polar Express. There's a ton of them that I'll just put on any time of year, whether it's just sort of background or whether I just sort of need that little magic that I'll put on any time of year. And because streaming makes it so much easier now, I don't have to use that superpower to find what channel is playing something.
It's also not very good at saving the world. So like, don't go fighting Thanos or anything with your superpower. But
yeah, well, see, destroy the universe. But but Scrooged is on the USA Network right now.
Purse is foiled again.
Impressive.
Nice.
Well, see, a few months ago, our youngest came up and said, "Hey, Dad, can we watch the one with the mice?" I'm like, "What?" She goes, "Can we watch the one with the mice?" I said, "You mean 'Twas the Night Before Christmas?" She goes, "Yeah." Yeah.
It's Albert.
Yeah. So, and I forget when it was. It wasn't Christmas, but here we were, you know, sitting around dinner time watching 'Twas the Night Before Christmas.
That's awesome.
When I started The Sounds of Christmas back in 2007, I turned it on for on the 1st of November, turned it off right after Epiphany. And I did that for several years. So there was nothing on 11 months of the year. And I would get emails from people all over asking me to keep it on all year. And I thought that's crazy because nobody's going to listen to this all year long. And most people aren't going to just turn it on and keep it on in their homes or their cars or wherever for huge stretches of time. But I thought I would try it. So about 10 years ago, I left it on for the whole year. And I have just been amazed that someone is always listening. And it's not necessarily for long stretches of time, but I'm guessing that they do it just like the ways that we've all been talking about when mm-hmm. you need it. I think there's somebody in Winnipeg right now that has been listening nonstop for just over 2 days. But usually, and God love you, thank you. But usually people tune in for half an hour, maybe a little bit longer. And that's what I do when I need it. I pop it on and, you know, sometimes half an hour, sometimes longer, sometimes just a song or two. But I like that it's always there, ready whenever I need it. And that's why it's on all year. Well, It's on 11 months of the year. And then Halloween music for all of October. And my apologies to anybody who is looking for that musical Christmas spirit during those particular 31 days, as it's just Halloween stuff. But I like being able to have it on all the time. And it seems that other people like that too. And I don't mean this to come across as that I'm the king of Christmas radio and or anything like that, because there are lots of online stations around, and I'm sure that there are many of them that are on right now. So if you don't like what I'm playing, you can listen to one of them. And if you don't like what they're playing, you can come back to me.
Yeah.
As I play, I say I play the best variety, and it's a lot of stuff that you may not be familiar with, because I like to try and keep it fresh and keep it from being like what we've talked about a lot, where some of them, they don't get stale, but they sort of lose the sparkle. And I do that to try and keep that from happening. Is there anything that any of you have come across or thought about listening to Christmas music in June that we haven't gotten around to?
Well, I want to say, though, that, you know, we're humans. And my mom always told me, I don't know if it's true, but that she read somewhere that, you know, humans need like 8 hugs a day or something like that, you know, and that's kind of how I feel when you listen to Christmas music outside of the season. You know, it's like you're getting that hug just to feel that connection again, because it does kind of re-spark the magic a little bit. It does kind of bring back the memories and the feelings and the sounds and smells and everything of Christmas that just make it so real and so wonderful. And I think that's whenever I tune in, you know, just recreationally for in April or in July or whatever, I'm getting that hug to make myself feel connected again to my family and friends and everyone, and especially that Christmas spirit. I mean, it's like Bill Murray says in Scrooge, you know, you'll get greedy for it. You want it all year long, and it can happen to you. And that's kind of how I feel, as dumb and cliche or whatever as that sounds. That's actually kind of how I feel whenever I hear it.
It's funny, you know, at the socially acceptable Christmas music listening time in December, say, there will be people who will say that, like in Scrooge, that it's a crock and it should be that way all year long. Mm-hmm. And then when you're trying to live that and have it all year long, what the heck are you doing listening to Christmas music in June?
Yeah.
Well, see, one thing that helps me is the fact that, you know, all the stuff that I get, it's all brand new to me, and a lot of it is really different. What, just last night I was playing a CD I just got, which didn't expect much of it. It has, you know, a generic CGI, like I think like late Santa 90s early sex. Yeah, it looks awful, but you turn it on and it's just some of the coolest jazz. And yeah, so finding these things that are really good and really unexpected that makes it a lot easier listening year round.
I just think it's such an endearing thought, you know, people around the world like turning to Christmas music when they just, you know, are feeling down about something or had a hard day. At least that's how I like to picture it, because I know that's what I would do. And so I think whether people want to admit it or not, I do think that there's a level of comfort that comes along with the Christmas season. And so it's, you know, I think the movies can do that, the decorations, you know, it's like, you know, if putting up getting out a decoration is what's going to make you smile that day, like, more power to you. And if blasting some Christmas music is going to put you in a good mood, no matter what the month, I just love the idea of, like, you know, people kind of using it as like a therapy collectively, yet you're doing it individually. And, you know, it's like this shared experience that everyone has that we don't really talk about, but I think more people turn to it than would admit.
Well, especially after the pandemic, right? It's like, if it makes you happy, like at this point, I think it's like, just go for it.
You know? Exactly. I think we all kind of got to a point in our lives where we're like, life is too short. If I want to listen to the Christmas music, I'm going to do it no matter what people are going to say. Yeah.
Here, here. Now, I hope this hasn't come across as this whole episode as a big commercial for the Sounds of Christmas station, because that's not what I intended. But I got to tell you, running it, I feel very lucky. When I started out in radio and was the low guy on the totem pole, and I was the one who was working a 12-hour shift on Christmas Day and then coming back and working 12 more hours into the day after, I didn't dread it, because I would hear from people who were listening, and it felt like I got to spend part of the holiday mm-hmm. with everybody. And now, more years later than I really want to think about, I have the Sounds of Christmas station on, and I know that somebody in Winnipeg has been listening for several days, and I know there are people all over who are listening, and I feel like it's so cool that I know these people are listening for whatever reason, doesn't matter, whatever reason that they're listening, and I get to sort of share that with them, and it gets multiplied by a lot in the season when I'm spending part of the holiday with people all over the world. It's really quite a gift, and I'm so grateful that I get to do that. But it is really, it's just, Kristen, like what you were saying, it's so cool that people are turning to it to feel better, mm-hmm. to capture that magic, to the nostalgia, whatever it is. And you know, if you want to do that and you want to listen to some Christmas music right now, it doesn't have to be my station, really. You can listen whatever you want. go right ahead. If it makes you happy, mm-hmm. whether it's any of the things we've talked about or it's just a song that you really like, whether it's a Christmas song or not, if it makes you happy, enjoy and let it make you happy.
And I'm sure just like how we're all, you know, grateful for your station, I'm sure that all those listeners, you know, that person in Canada right now is grateful that it exists. And I just think, yeah, it's a really awesome thing. And, you know, all Christmas stations, all everyone that's put out a Christmas album, I mean, it really is kind of a public service in a way of contributing to something that, you know, is going to be positive and that, you know, is going to be happy for people.
And, you know, if you use a music streaming service like Spotify or Tidal or whatever, you can go on there and you can just search Christmas for playlists. Mm-hmm. And when you find one, you can find them where songs have been added today. Mm-hmm. So somebody was putting that together just now when you were looking for it. How cool is that? That you can find something Christmassy to listen to that somebody made just for you today. Mm-hmm. It has nothing to do with my station either. So
so there, people.
Yeah. So there.
But seriously, go listen to Sounds of Christmas. No. No, I'm just kidding. No, but I, you know, there is something comforting about Christmas music. They're melodies that we've all heard these years. We know them. It doesn't matter what version it is, like the arrangement, if it's jazz, if it's just like an acoustic guitar and a guy singing, if it's a rock version, you know, or a blues version or gospel version, it doesn't matter. We know these melodies. And I think because of that, it is like a warm blanket. And that, you know, coupled with the fact that, you know, it reminds us of great times, you know, the magic that was there. I think it's just something that's so powerful and visceral in a way. And it just, it really is quite amazing. And thank you for having your station all year long, by the way.
You're very welcome. Before we wrap things up, how about we go around and see what everybody's working on their podcast for upcoming episodes, and also mention where everybody can find you, Kristen?
Sure. So this coming up Tuesday, I have my Father's Day episode coming out, which will be exciting. I'm talking about the BTK killer, because there's actually an interesting history behind how his daughter found out that he was the BTK killer when she was in her 20s, and you know, kind of a dad's gone wrong sort of episode. Mm. Later this month, I'm doing a summer solstice episode, and then, because I mentioned I'm going to ChristmasCon later this week, I'm planning on doing an episode all about my experience that I'm going to release for a Christmas in July. episode. Awesome. And I'm going to deck the Hallmarks live show that they're doing there, because they're the podcast that got me into podcasts. So I'm super stoked to be able to meet Dan and Bran and Brian and everyone else. But I'm going to be talking all about it in July. So you can find my show, Holidays After Dark, you know, wherever you get your podcasts, pretty much have it everywhere on social media at Holidays After Dark. And you can always email Kristen at holidaysafterdark.com if you have any cool, creepy holiday facts or stories.
Very nice. Thank you. Jerry, what's cooking for Totally Rad Christmas?
Ooh, so a few things. I've got a couple of episodes on Heathcliff coming up. I don't know if you remember Heathcliff, the cat, like a Garfield kind of,
smaller,
not knockoff, but you know, just not quite as big as Garfield. So Heathcliff Brave Star was a toy and Filmation cartoon. They had a play on A Christmas Carol in one of their episodes. So I've got that. I also have Rocky IV, which is going to be that's a fun one. That's a really fun one. And I'm also doing my 200th episode is coming up. So I've got a big part two, essentially, episode where we take the second cassette of the Time Life Treasure of Christmas and we replace them all with versions from the 80s. So and I got my brother back on for that one. Yeah. So we did part one as my 150th episode. And so part two will be this one here. So,
well, congratulations on 200.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
That's awesome.
it's work, but it's fun. And then, of course, like Kristen, you can find me anywhere you find podcasts. And I'm on totallyradchristmas.com or Facebook and Instagram at totallyradchristmas, Twitter at radchristmas. And even though I don't do much with it, I do have a Mastodon account, totallyradchristmas@mastodon.world. So, yeah, there you go.
Great. Scott, how about you?
I have some really cool episodes coming up. The one I'm working on now is... Yoshiyasu Ueda and Swing West. They were a group sounds band from the 60s who their Christmas music showed up in a flexi disc journal and has never been re-released. Then I've got an early 60s compilation coming after that. July, I have the Christmas music of the Spacemen. They were kind of a psychedelic grunge or garage rock band. They only put out three singles or three Christmas singles, but they're really cool. And then I'm also working on my Christmas in July episode, which I just realized about 2 hours ago that one of the CDs I thought I had ordered, I did not order. So, but yeah, I've got, and that's the thing. If you haven't heard any of my previous Christmas in July episodes, there's a lot of summer Christmas songs in Japan where basically they're kind of like love songs where they're singing about having their Christmas in July or August or whenever. So my Christmas in July episodes focus on those summery Christmas songs. And I have to check and see how many I've got for this episode. I might split it into two episodes so I can finally do another one next year. But if not, this will be my last actual Christmas in July episode in that format.
Nice. Right. I love that aside from the music that we've been talking about in the movies and all of that, that we're all doing podcast episodes and keeping the spirit going all year round too. I think that's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you guys so much for taking some time and talking about listening to Christmas music, even in June.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us on.
And thank you so much for listening and for continuing to support the Sounds of Christmas station and podcast. I already told you how to listen to the station, and you're already listening to this podcast, so my work here really is just about done. All our episodes are available on the Sounds of Christmas website. Just click the podcast tab. We also have a Linktree page, so you can find us on your favorite streaming site, and that link is down in the show notes. You can find most, if not all, of the sites that have our podcast there. Then you can subscribe and you'll never miss another episode. If you have comments or suggestions on this episode, previous episodes, the Sounds of Christmas Station, or the Sounds of Halloween, feel free to reach out to me on social media or through the website. Thanks again, and may you always believe in Santa Claus.